You're listening to an FX PhD podcast from fxphd.com.
Hi, and welcome to This Week at FX PhD. John Montgomery with you, and as always, joined by Mike. How's it going, my friend?
Good, good. I am back from my travels, which is excellent.
Yes, we've had a bit of a delay in getting out the O-Week FX PhD, it's called the This Week at FX PhD now. Old habits die hard. But really good reason for doing so, and that's you being at a very cool shoot in Sweden that I was unable to attend, and I have to admit I was a bit jealous, my friend.
Oh, I don't know why you'd be jealous. We simply had three motion control rigs, multiple high-speed Phantom 4K cameras, a bunch of models from L'Oreal, and a bunch of pyro and explosions, skateboards, and high-speed fun. I don't know as to why you'd want to attend that.
Yeah, exactly. But it really looked like a lot of fun. And if you folks hadn't checked out the production blog at FXPHE, you can get there by going under the resource tab and hitting production blog. Mike did a yeoman's job at keeping documentation and posting from the shoot after some very, very long days working to keep everyone informed on what was going on. So first off, thanks for doing that.
Hey, no problem. I thought it was really important to keep everyone up to date with what was happening because we by necessity had to delay to a certain extent the start of the Nuke 300 course, and I wanted people to understand that things were actually happening and things were looking really good. And so if we want to like start our rundown of the new term by discussing that, basically one of the big things we were shooting in Sweden is footage and elements that would be used in the Nuke motion control and deep compositing course. Now this is being run by Victor Perez, though I'm doing the first couple of classes because I was kind of instrumental in the shooting side of things, and then handing it over to him. Now, Victor was there for pre-production and for all but the last shot of the shoot. And so Victor and I had a terrific time doing this in Sweden together. But Victor is the Nuke expert, so clearly he'll be doing the heavy lifting over the majority of the course, which is probably about eight classes. The first couple, however, will give you all the rundown on how we shot it, the stuff that we learned from shooting it, some elements that we shot so we can compare it. And then as the term progresses, of course, I'll take a step out and Victor will take the reins as he runs through stuff that includes not only comping stuff and putting shots together, but doing some good deep compositing. And in fact, Matt, who is doing our Maya course, is going to be providing some elements. So Matt Leonard is based in Canada, and I was speaking to Matt yesterday, I think it was, and we're getting all of those elements ready, so he'll be providing elements over to Victor for Victor's course. Now, you don't have to do the Maya course, but I'm just saying that that is where some of those elements are coming, because as we'll talk about in a minute, Matt's doing this Maya course. Now, the Nuke course, the Motion Control Deep Compositing course, doesn't have as a prerequisite, but does have as a kind of a lead-in last term's previous course. So what happened is we outlined a pitch document, the process of pitching for a commercial, and I did that with the guys at Moon Unit, and this is just tremendously enjoyable experience for me, just working out how you would pitch a high scale, high end commercial. And at that stage we just picked a Nike skateboarding spot, so we did that and it was really great. The following term, which was last term, we then previs that in our previs course, still was a Nike commercial. We got near the end of that course, and our friends at Stilla Studios in Sweden said, "This is so awesome. Why don't you come over here and actually shoot it?" Now, we decided if we were going to actually shoot the commercial, we shouldn't make it a Nike commercial because I just arbitrarily picked Nike as a brand. And we hooked up with a company called Tip Technology, which does skateboarding stuff. And so we went ahead and made the ad. So with a couple of, you know, changes to reflect the fact that the product is now the skateboard, not the shoes on the skateboard, we went ahead and produced that ad. And so if you're interested, of course, check out the previs course that goes through all the previs. But that is, you know, primarily the art of doing previs in Maya. The deep compositing course, the Nuke course, does not require that as a prerequisite. And in fact, we're going to give you the documents. You can see the previs that came out of that other course. So they do flow, but as I say, they're not a prerequisite. And the Nuke 300 level course will try and get into some heavy duty Nuke work. That, you know, basically puts that spot together. And John, I just had a ball shooting this because the Stilla guys were tremendously helpful, enthusiastic and friendly. But also we had the guys from Mark Roberts, motion control flamer from London, which gave us an extra motion control rig, took it up to three. The guys from Love High Speed came over with two Phantom 4K cameras. So we're shooting on the Red high speed and on the Phantoms high speed. And as I said, we had pyro and props and a ton of stuff. So we got some really good high quality footage to give to members.
Yeah, and I think what's really great about this course is that kind of blend too of from the on-set experience with motion control, because that's frankly something that you don't see a lot of places, especially at the caliber that's being done at Stiller Studios. So I think that's a really cool aspect of the course that's being covered, to kind of give people and artists who haven't been on set doing that type of work before insight into that process.
Yeah, and it's not exclusively about making this commercial. In fact, we're going to sneak in another shot just because I think it's a lot of fun and because it's cool, blowing stuff up. Yeah, so we're going to be putting another shot into that course, which is high-speed motion control shot with a Red camera on a Cyclops rig, which is the big 4.5-ton huge mega rig, and that'll be matched in with footage shot on the Phantom 4K on the Bolt rig, both on tracks, one green screen with the model, one with the miniature. So we'll be scaling the miniature to match up, which, of course, is a classic thing that you do with motion control. We've got the cameras moving, so it's not just locked off shots. And so there's a scaling of focus. There's a scaling of the moves. Of course, there's a timing issue because you shoot to scale. You obviously shoot things that are smaller at a different frame rate to make them look bigger. So all of that goes into producing what is basically two good clean plates that will come together and sell this shot. And I've just looked at the rough comp here in Sydney, and it looks like a cracker. And you have, of course, going to get this footage. We'll give it to you, I think, John, what, at 2K, I think, is the sensible kind of level.
Yes.
For everybody.
Yeah, it is. And full color depth and everything, not compressed JPEG sequences, so you have the full quality, obviously. And, we'll definitely, it's our goal is to give you all really good, high-quality footage that you can build stuff for your reel. And also, Mike, you mentioned the change in the sponsor, so to speak, on the spot. Well, the thing I would like about that as well is I think it's more believable as well on people's demo reels, frankly, as opposed to totally. Nike. I mean, it'll be, you know, it's like they're so few and they're so high-end, and the Nike things are quite simple, that I think that actually just works out really well for FXPHD members, to really sensible to build something for your reel.
Yeah, and John and I, as one does, tried to plus this. I was saying to John, I was thinking, what do you reckon about some fire and stuff?
Yeah.
And John was like, I was thinking that would be awesome. And so we got all sorts of cool stuff.
Well, I was thinking CGI fire, Mike. I was talking
of FX. You didn't tell me that.
But then you go out and like do real fire.
Well, it's only petrol bombs, but... We put flint on the board as well, so when he's breaking at the end of the stunt, it has sparks coming out of the end of it. It's just like a lot of fun. And our Brazilian skateboarder was just really a good sport. But there was just one point where I was like standing there, and it's like about midnight, and it's really cold, like it's freezing. I mean, literally freezing, like, you know, no temperature, zero in centigrade. And we're setting off these petrol bombs, and the pyro guy's going, if anything goes wrong, just keep going in that direction. And I'm like, okay, we really need to translate that. This is really important. As the bomb goes off, if anything happens and he falls, whatever, just keep moving that direction where the fire safety guys were. And but we had, without incident, of course, everyone's really professional and didn't. And Stiller just has the best setup. It's one of the best setups in the world for doing motion control. I mean, it's just extraordinary. These guys are just so... of course, they have an Australian DOP, John, as you do. You know? Good DOPs come from down under, not just good rugby players. Yeah, but Marcus was great. So I've got interviews with Marcus. I've got interviews with a bunch of the people that that helped contribute to it, so you can sort of hear from people. It's one of the most comprehensive pieces of its kind we've done. We're shooting for over a week, over a week period, and we got a lot of really good stuff. And as you'll see in Background Fundamentals, which is, of course, the free course that goes along with any subscription to FXPHD, we go into other stuff as well. So, unfortunately, John, I ended up having to shoot some naked L'Oreal models in baths in high speed at 1,500 frames a second and, you know, a few other things. But I did manage to get shot and killed on set, as well as shoot dogs. We had a really nice German Shepherd on set, and we managed to do a... in between setups a take of that. So there's a lot of great stuff there to look at, and we'll be giving you out more stuff. And in other terms, perhaps we'll roll some of those shots out for other things. Even down to grading, quite frankly, there's some really nice beauty shots of the L'Oreal model. So we just want to send our thanks and appreciation to everybody that contributed to that. But in particular, the guys at Stiller, who are just the nicest guys. God, I had such a good time.
Yeah, it really looked amazing. And as you mentioned, those fire and pyro shots were amazing, and I'll throw the bad promo piece in here for our explosive new term at FXPhD, because we have a second course that actually deals with explosions. It's called Explosive Pyro Action Sequences with RenderMan. It's being taught by Liam Whitehouse, and this is somewhat building on a course from last term, which is, if you remember, there's a oil rig truck that was, I guess we could say, inspired by Mad Max Fury Road.
Yeah.
And Liam worked with that last term, and he actually wanted to teach another course this term, so he pitched us this idea of actually rendering photorealistic pyro explosions of the truck being blown out, and it's going to be really cool. And you mentioned deep compositing for the Nuke 300 level course. This course will also have some deep compositing as well, and that's why it's a VFX 304 300 level course. It's really going to use a wide range of software, and the ideal being to get a really photorealistic render in the end. And so starting out working with the explosion effects actually in Houdini, diving into talking about the RenderMan 20 as part of that, doing photorealistic lighting, and then also doing lighting and rendering in Mantra, and then taking it into Nuke and doing compositing. I think it's going to be a really, really interesting, fantastic course. Again, if you took that course last term utilizing Tark, you'd want to take this, because the idea behind this one is coming up with one really good killer shot that's photoreal, as opposed to the last course. It really didn't take it to that level.
Yeah, now one of the things that you guys have asked for in the past is a bunch more 300 level courses, and I'm proud to say we have at least four 300 level courses. I say at least because I'm talking about the new courses. In addition to all the new courses that we're going to be talking about today, there are all the courses that are available that are repeats, and in addition to those, there are those that are available for immediate download from the vault. But just in terms of new courses, there are four, which I don't know if that's probably the record, isn't it?
It is, yeah, for sure, yeah.
Of 300 level courses. And so, yeah, we're really happy to provide them. It takes a lot of effort to pull these 300s together, but we've tried really hard to do it because, you know, you guys would, you know, said that was something that really interests you. And as John said, taking some shots through to really high quality finals. So that's so, John, do you want to pick one of the other 300s just to...
Yeah, and it's great. And I just want to give a shout out to the pros for doing these 300 level courses, because as those of you who've been FXPhD members know in the past, our 200 level courses can be quite advanced. So there's a bit of pressure on the guys to actually come up with something. They feel it doing these courses, so it's really great that they're willing to do so. The next one that's dealing with the shot is our VFX 303 course, and it's being led by Ludo, who's teaching another digital map painting course this term. Ludo, of course, is from Double Negative and leads our digital map painting curriculum. But this is not just the digital map painting aspect of it, but this is actually coming up with a final and completed shot from scratch, actually, starting with a model of a submarine, doing all the texturing and so forth for that, getting actually all effects in the shot through compositing to get it to look right, things like atmospherics and caustics, or underwater atmospherics, I guess, and caustics,
yeah.
Things like bubbles and nukes, all those kind of finishing touches, in addition to, of course, grading and color correction that make a shot look real. But I think this is one's really interesting because, Mike, it does stand in a bit of contrast, maybe not so much to the one that Liam's teaching, obviously, but to the one that you're doing with very much in-camera effects, in-camera work to do a shot. And this one is effectively kind of building one from scratch, taking a look at that entire process, all aspects of it, from the digital map painting to those final compositing tweaks. And I want to mention it's not just Ludo who's teaching it, but Albin is teaching part of that course this term. He's also got his own course this term. Charles is taking part in it. He's got another course running this term. And then Olivier is actually going to be creating the final effects of that shot in Nuke, or final tweaks and so forth in compositing in Nuke.
Yeah, no, really, really good. And actually, I should just I alluded to that Maya simulations effects course. We've been talking about the explosions with RenderMan, also the live action explosions that doing. The 200 level course that Matt Lennon's doing in Maya is Maya Fundamental Simulation and Effects. And the idea with this course is that Matt's going to be looking at using the sort of stuff that's, sort of fairly standard in adding production value to shots, in the sense that, you know, you really want to have it as part of your repertoire. Now, this is the next in our Maya Foundation series. And so we're going to look in depth at the kind of fundamental elements that go together for all the things that that are available in Maya for doing effects work. It's only a 200 level course, so it's not to say that it's not going to be advanced, but it's not going to be quite as advanced as, say, some of the 300-level stuff that we've just been alluding to. But Matt Leonard's been teaching, gosh, for a while for us, right? I'm going to say, like, at least 6-7 years off and on. And he's based in Vancouver. And Matt's a great guy and a really good teacher. He's currently working at MPC in Vancouver. And John, been doing a lot of really good lighting work and working with the lighting pipelines at MPC around the world, actually, as well as having his own training company, Sphere VFX. So Matt's a great teacher, and we're really glad to have him doing another one of these Foundation Maya courses.
Even though I called it Fundamentals, I just noticed in one of the courses, so I need to change that. By the time you listen to that, it'll be called Maya Foundations as opposed to Maya Fundamentals.
I think I called it Foundation, didn't I? It is a
foundation. It's correct. Course, yeah. Yes, you called it correctly. Yes.
Yeah. I just That's unusual because normally I'm the one that gets things wrong. I'm the one that normally gets things wrong. So I'm
happy to admit when I'm wrong. So that's going to be great. And then taking a look, we'll kind of stick with the 3D track as well. Again, we mentioned that VFX 300 level course that Liam is teaching. We're actually going to use actually a different version of the truck that was created, a higher resolution version with more detail, as part of Albin's technical and artistic aspects of texturing. And that's going to be in Maya. That's Maya 225. And of course, as I mentioned before, I don't think I mentioned before, Albin's the lead texture artist at DNAG in London. He's got over a decade of experience, I think. He's been in the business for a while, and those of you who've taken the courses he's been involved in the past as part of a course know he's a really great teacher as well. But the idea is simply getting and really diving the details of, as the title suggests, both the technical and artistic aspects of working with the color, textures, how you do it, and how you do it to actually be efficient in the end in distributing the asset when you're done, because of course you can actually generate a tremendous amount of texture information and detail within a model in production. You can't actually always use that in production, so that's going to be one aspect of it. But before we get to that, looking at everything from all the base paint layers and all the little details that actually bring the item to life, as well as the additional passes that you would actually add to that to really take to the next level. I think it's going to be nice, and again, this kind of fits into what we've been doing the last several terms, is trying to do a series of courses related to a given project so that we can really dive into detail with workflow, how to get the job done, because frankly, 10 weeks of 30-minute classes is really simply enough to do kind of a bite-sized bit of that, and so by diving into having multiple classes covering different things, we can really get into the kind of details that you need to know. And Mike, I think that's one of the things that's we actually, I guess, patting ourselves on the back about, that we do at FXPHD pretty well.
Yeah. Finishing out the Maya courses, there's a third Maya course, which is Maya 226, which Charles is doing, and this is basically Maya and Arnold. So, you know, at the end of the kind of the pipeline, of course, rendering is key. Now, there's a lot of stuff that you want to look at in Maya, and I guess the easiest way to think of this is a look dev kind of class, because what you're doing is looking at how to get this insanely cool shot, very kind of graphic. Am I allowed to say Catwoman? I guess something-esque like that.
Inspired by?
Inspired by, a tribute to, reimagined cat-type person on a rooftop. And it's a good shot. The great thing about it is, you know, and this is what I was doing on set, shooting HDRs. Now, obviously, my HDRs were for the stuff that I was doing on set, but getting those HDRs in, balancing them, working with them, the lighting rigs and stuff that go to that. Of course, there's the shaders and everything else. And then when you've got everything in place, taking that from Maya into Arnold for final lighting, balancing and stuff. When those are rendered, you take the Arnold passes, the different AOVs into Nuke for final compositing. So again, this is how to take a shot, do the look dev, and then be able to take it into Arnold for full rendering and final comp and final tweaking, like, for example, using the Z-Depth stuff and lighting adjustments, I guess, in Nuke. And John, it is a really great set. I mean, those three courses right there, covering such interesting aspects, from specialist kind of effects work to texturing work to look dev. It's really a good sort of combination.
Yeah, it is. And kind of before we close out on, I guess you could say, some of the more feature film-oriented aspects of the thing, I just also want to give a shout-out for another new digital map painting course. And again, this is a series of courses that we've done now for almost 2 years at FXPHD. We know that it's DMP 207, Digital Map Painting, Lost Desert City, taught by Ludo. And What members really like about these courses is basically the project-based approach to it, as well as the feedback in the forums. To be clear, we've had courses that both cover digital map painting and environments, which is basically taking and almost building the final environment, that is building the final environment of the map painting in 3D, adding atmospheric effects and so forth. But our digital map painting curriculum is a little bit different from that. And that's really looking at the map painting itself before you actually take it, before you actually take and project it, nuke, add effects and so forth. It's looking at those kind of artistic nuances, kind of the emotional storytelling, lighting, composition, grading and realism, and how to get that base digital map painting to a top-notch level so that you can then take it and build it in a decent environment and nuke and do 3D productions and moves and whatever else you need to do. It's really, it's some compositing in a way. Photoshop is a tool that's used, but it really truly is, I guess, modern digital painting, Mike, I guess, is the best way. Right?
Yeah,
it's
but this isn't, just to be really clear, this isn't concept art. Because
That's some very stuff true.
Some stuff in this area, and the way you were describing it, I know exactly what you're saying. But if you just, it's when John says that it's taking it through for the final stuff, yeah, because there are obviously ways that you can do a course like this where it's pretty much just getting the concept up, but not actually the sort of the quality that you would expect in terms of the final stuff, and that's not the case here. So you are taking it through and doing more than a kind of a block out concept art approach. It's a much more hands-on matte painting kind of course.
It's basically, well, as you say, you're right. It's a much clearer. I'm glad you pointed it out. Yeah, it's basically getting the digital matte painting, the final digital matte painting, correct and finaled to take it to the next level when you take that into your into Nuke and add the final tweaks. Yeah, this is very much not a concept art level type course. But it really does help you hone your skills. And simply in talking to members, they really like these because it enables them to kind of do something different each term. The tasks have been slightly different each and every term. And it's basically about honing your skills. It's about honing your eye as well as your skills of painting. So, we're really happy to have him back again teaching this.
Not that I want to pick on you or anything, but just, FYI, I think there's also a spelling mistake in the digital map painting one, but I'll talk to you about that afterwards. Oh, it's so unusual. I found two mistakes because I'm the one that can't spell, guys. If you're listening to this, you'll know that I am the world's worst speller,
enough.
And John is normally doing stuff. So it's not enthusiasm that makes me. It's more like relief that it wasn't me this time. It's normally me. Okay, what's next, John?
Let's see.
I think you should talk about motion graphics because you're our motion graphics guy. John is the creative director, I think chief creative officer of the company. And so when it comes to motion graphics, I go, yes, I will just take one step back now.
Okay, how about this? Let's start first, though, changing, kind of making segue into Cinema 4D. I like that idea. Into the new Cinema 4D 220 course is taught by Per Hirovas. And it's effectively our first effects-based course utilizing Cinema 4D.
And Houdini.
And Houdini, yeah. And of course, the new Houdini engine that's recently shipped as part of that.
Houdini.
And what's kind of fun about this, I don't know how many of you know about this project, but years ago, when Raiders of the Lost Ark came out, some kids recreated, literally kids, recreated sequences from Raiders of the Lost Ark, making the film, but it's a shot-by-shot remake, actually, of the film. This was, 40 years ago?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes.
And it was very well received at the time, right?
It was. I mean, Spielberg loved it because it was very... It was very respectful, paid homage to the original, but was done with this love for the film and excitement for the film by these kids actually recreating all these amazing scenes. But the thing is, there were one or two scenes that actually never got done. And Perry... actually was approached by these filmmakers who are now adults to actually help them work on these final scenes as adults. So they actually went out, built the scene, and Perry was in charge of creating the effects in Houdini, things like fire and stuff and smoke in it to actually do the shot. And the filmmakers were kind enough to give us access to this material as well, as that we can distribute to you. So I think it's really exciting. I know the folks at Maxon are very happy that we have our first effects-based Cinema 4D course at FXPH, or at least I should say strongly effects-based course, because Tim has covered that in the past. And I think as well, this combination of the Houdini engine, being able to do some stuff in Houdini and have the ability to bring that into Cinema 4D and work with it in an application which is, you know, quite friendly to work with. I think it's kind of has a reputation, and it is actually more approachable than, say, Maya Houdini. I think it's really going to be a fun course to kind of hopefully build the first of many kind of effects-based and visual effects-based courses in Cinema 4D.
But you now have to go on to Tim Clapham's course in motion graphics, because Tim is
awesome.
Yeah, like another one of our longtime, very popular, very well-loved and good friends of FX PhD.
Yeah, he really is. And Tim, very busy guy, but always loves coming back to FX PhD to teach courses. And in this one, he's just basically going to look at a variety of techniques to actually help you take your motion graphics capabilities in Cinema 4D to a higher level. He's a variety of projects from simply taking a look at some of the new, some of the cloth surface things in it. He's going to take a look at building an infographic, because if you're working in almost anything related to commercials or industrials, you're going to actually have to take a look at infographics at some point. And the key is not only knowing how to do them, but actually do them and presenting the graphics in a clear and concise way. I mean, I've seen a lot of bad infographics out there. It's not just about pushing the buttons and knowing how to build them. It's about creating ones that actually tell the story of the data behind the graphics. And then as well, for the last part of the course, he's going to actually dive into creating a sports ID, something like a broadcast network, you know, your Fox Sports, your, what would be a sports thing down in?
Yeah, and
Crikey Sports
Network. No, we have Fox. And also, it's over three classes, right? So there are three classes devoted to this. So again, it'll be a proper look at the graphics, and that's really good because Tim's stuff is just super popular. I don't know off the top of my head how many courses Tim's done with us, but it's not enough.
Yes, it's we basically have an open invitation to him to do them anytime, and it really does come down to him taking time, and he wants to take the time, and he actually does. He has, as Mike says, he's taught so many courses for us. We've really been generous, and he really truly enjoys teaching them at FXPG, as well as the interaction in the forums. I think that's what he especially likes, being an FXPG. And then, as you know, may know, he travels a lot doing presentations around the world, and the number of FXPHD members that he's met all around the world is stunning. Mike and I are familiar with that. Many of our profs are not, but Tim has seen it firsthand. So he is truly one of our most loved profs at FXPHD.
So now, I guess one of the ones we might have touched on earlier is the Motion Control and Unreal Engine 4 course. And the reason for this is John taught a course with us here at FXPHD. After that, he quite separately and coincidentally went to Stiller Studios in Sweden. And so this was not part of my visit. This was something that happened before, though obviously we think it's great that he went. And so he's now going to do an Unreal 4 Motion Control course. But just to be super clear about this, while this is using the version 4 of the software and is a 300-level course and the last of our 300-level courses, it's not the same thing. Just to be clear, it's not the same course that I was shooting that's the new course. Now, that being said, Stiller Studios, and I investigated this when I was there quite a lot, have done an enormous amount of work with virtual set work. And so much stuff with virtual set work that you don't tend to have tracking markers on set, so they can shoot and do really insanely great sort of previs, live comps, work with the studio. Everything's calibrated. To give you an idea, John, how well the studio is calibrated on the big Cyclops rig, we had some stats, and I was talking to the guys, and I'm like, you know what? I feel like the stats never really resonate with people. Is there some other way we could express how accurate it is? And they went, okay, how about this? If you set up a laser at the beginning of the shoot and you run the camera all the way up the other end of the track, which is like 9 meters, on this 4.5 ton rig and swing it round, the accuracy after the whole thing is over is half a laser beam width.
Wow.
I mean, yep, that'll do it. That'll so maybe you can talk a bit more about what John is doing in this combination of Unreal 4 and Motion Control.
Yeah, I mean, the basic gist of this course is a little bit different than what he's done in the past, and that's basically with this course, taking a look at live-action environments and how to utilize live-action footage in UE4. And what's cool about this is it's actually going to take, I think, four or five different shots and take a look at the various issues pre-production issues, post, as well as Unreal 4 issues in getting those shots to final. So what's going to happen is for each and every individual shot, they're going to talk about a little bit of the pre-production, talk about the reference that they use for it, as well as distribute the actual takes as well as source to actually allow you to take those and actually build those finals for you themselves. So it's going to be just, the idea behind it is just to get as wide variety of situations and footage as possible for you guys. See what happens on set, see what you need to deliver before doing it, and see what you need to do after the fact, after acquisition. And I think it's going to be really interesting because we've never done anything like this, really, at FX PhD in the past. The stuff that we've talked about in the past has been doing environments, doing computer-generated stuff, but this is really interesting, taking all the data that you get in set with a really solid professional pipeline to not actually lose that data. Mike, I know that's one of your pet peeves. In post, and actually utilize that for the final, which is going to be really great.
Yeah, it really is. I've got to say, I've just got a lot of money on Unreal 4 as an engine. I just think it's a really good engine. Talking to people, and I'm just giving people like my personal opinion, like talking to people all over the world, I hear good things about Unreal. I like the new model for the pricing. I think it's got the wind on its back. And so I'm very, very happy to be having that course in this lineup. I mean, I think it's actually really significant to have these high-end game engine things because it's becoming an increasingly vital part of the overall VFX kind of landscape.
Certainly is, especially add more and more effects and you can get more and more stuff done in real time, atmospherics and things like that. It's just really the worlds are going to merge. I think that writing's on the wall.
Yeah. So I think we're down to our last course, aren't we, of the new set? I mean, I think we've
we got are.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's
okay. Well, yeah, Mike, and I guess it's appropriate because it was the last course that we added this term. I think we added a couple days after the launch of the term because we were still crossing the T's and dotting the I's. But I have to say we're really excited about this because we've done some indie filmmaking courses at FXPHD in the past in Nuke and other applications and cinematography and things like that. But what's cool about this one is we're partnering with the folks at Corda Digital who have a really popular YouTube channel, a channel that's incredibly popular with many people around the world, so much so that I think they have 4 million or close to 3.5 million regular subscribers.
Yep, but 3.5.
3.5. But their videos range anything from, well, this is the low end, well, 100,000 at the low end for something released 10 hours ago, but something anywhere up to, you know, 20 million views of their videos or 30 million views of their videos. So really an incredibly popular site that people go to as a destination online. And the fact is that it is another source for you to get eyeballs on the work that you do at that level of, you know, maybe you won't have 30 million views on your site, but at some level it does actually become a point at which you can monetize and actually make money on YouTube doing videos. But the pressures are a bit different. The pressure of time. You need to get more videos up in order to get those eyeballs on, so you have less time to spend on the effects. And so this course is kind of designed to actually, what can we do as visual effects artists who have been working in, say, commercials or even film, apply these techniques to kind of fast and furious work. Get the best quality work that you can, sensible quality you can. Okay, it's not going to be something that you're going to see in you know, the latest Transformers movie or something like that. But how you can get sensible, high-quality visual effects done in an efficient way for kind of this new YouTube video source. And that's where what Josh is doing. And I really appreciate him hooking us up with the folks at Corridor Digital. If you look at some of their videos, they're fun. It's different from a lot of the stuff that we've done, but it's certainly becoming a larger and larger part of content distribution model nowadays, Mike. I mean, the fact is that YouTube the kids is being used, and I think it's I think it'd be ridiculous to ignore it. I mean, I think I like the idea that we can apply our knowledge to this new distribution medium in a sensible way, and I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Now, as I said earlier, these are the new courses that we've been talking about. These are not the only courses that are available. If you want to check out all the courses, go, of course, to fxphd.com. Look under our courses. You'll see that there's a rundown of the courses that are available that, for example, the previous for commercials, which is repeated. So Matt Walkman did that last semester. It's back this term. And that's a great course to do. It's just that's not one of the ones that we've talked about in this podcast because, like, I don't know, Nuke Best Practices or the Tornado Destruction Sequence, they're or for that matter, VR Bootcamp. These are all returning courses, and what we tend to do is, on this podcast, focus on just the brand new courses. But all of that, plus, of course, all the VPN software and all the other great advantages of being part of the FX PhD community are available. And, John, I guess we are a little late in doing this in this podcast, but I think it's probably time to also just refresh people's memory on how it works. If you join up for PhD, for the first 2 weeks of any course, not the first two calendar weeks of the term, but like for any first 2 weeks, you can sample courses. So the idea is, let's say I join up with FX PhD and I say, well, I've listened to this discussion, I'm not quite sure yet. I want to see what the first classes are like in, say, that new thing that Mike's doing with the skateboarding, and it isn't out yet. Well, that's fine, because you can sample any of the courses, their first two classes, effectively, before you have to commit to your courses. To get past that, you obviously have to commit to whichever courses you want, and you can't preview unless you're a member. But if you are a member, you can just happily, and we don't mind, you go knock yourself out, sample everything you want, that's all we care. We want you to be happy. And so as part of any of the memberships, you can do that. So if you're thinking, I'm not quite sure, having heard this discussion, which ones are the goer, whether that, you know, particular course is going to be the right level for me or whatever, that's the way to do it. Join up, sample the courses, see what's right, and then pick out what you get. And of course, with all of these, you get Background Fundamentals, which is the free course that I do. Just basically gives you the lay of the land on new tech and stuff that's happening. We're going to be doing some really interesting things this term. We've already done some great stuff on color spaces and VR and use in therapy and stuff. But we're going to be doing some stuff on how agile software kind of approaches are being used by software companies and by VFX companies. Just a ton of stuff coming up. There's also the VPN software. There's the obviously the forums, which, again, you have to be a member of to see the full forums. But once you're in, very low noise, very productive forums. And then there's all the source footage for the shorts we've been talking about. So we provide those source footage clips without watermarks. You're free to use them non-commercially, put them on your showreel. And that's actually something that's embraced by a lot of the recruiters at the companies. They see shots from FX PhD. They know that the footage is from FX PhD, but what they like about it is that people aren't producing exactly the same shot, so you can't tell who did what. The way that we teach the courses allow you to individually come up with your version of the shot, which means that they can judge you really well, because they kind of know, oh, okay, for this shot that might have been out for like 6 months, I've seen that, I know what that source looked like, and now I can see how you put it on your showreel. Clearly, you've got some chomps there. Hey, come in and talk to us about a job. So it works out really, really well, having that footage.
Yeah, it does. And again, really looking forward to this term. We think we've got a fantastic lineup of courses. And again, some kind of new stuff that we haven't done in the past that we're really excited about as well, to kind of have a new twist. One thing I want to mention before we close out as well, for those of you who are listening and have been FX PhD members for a while, we still have the referral bonus available. Basically, what that means is if you tell someone about FX PhD, and when they sign up, they mention your username, they put your username in the box, you can actually get a free course. And so if there's something extra that you want to see that you can't do, well, help us spread the word, and we'll try and reward you as much as possible. If you go to the forums and go to the student lounge, or student news and information, actually, the very first thread in that forums give us the details on how to do that. And we, again, really appreciate all of you spreading the word about FX PhD, tweeting about it, posting on Facebook, whatever, because, again, when you folks post, it really carries a lot of weight. So thanks to those of you who've done that for us in the past, and hope you continue to do so.
Well, I think that's it, John. Nice to be once again showing off the courses. It's always hard not to leak beforehand, but we have a strict no-leak policy. But, yeah, it's been great.
Yeah, it has been fun, and it's great that you're back, and hopefully almost recovered from your jet lag for Aero Travels, because I know that you were working day and night on the shoot to get this done, and we appreciate that, and I'm sure the members will when they see the fruits of the labor as part of that new advanced new course. So, hey, everyone, thanks so much for taking the time to listen, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye.
Thanks for listening. This podcast is copyright FX PhD.